me. Let's look, if you will, in 2 Samuel chapter number 17. 2 Samuel chapter number 17. Now, we've gone through all of these movements of David, the king, and we know, you know, what's going on with his life and all of the things that he's had since his sin and his confession and his renewing after the episode with Bathsheba and her husband and, you know, all those things that we've studied and looked at there, and how that the Lord had told him some things. And as we said, the old saying is the chickens have now come home to roost. Things are beginning to shape up and show in his life from what God said. But the good thing about all of that is the fact that God is still faithful. Even though you and I may mess up, even though you and I do have those times and those days when we're down and when we're hurt and when we're almost crushed, thank God He's still faithful. Amen. I'm telling you, God's always been faithful and will always be faithful. So think about that tonight, if you will, as we look here and look with me in chapter number 17, 2 Samuel. We're just going to read a few verses. We'll cover more. I don't think we'll absolutely go through the entirety of this chapter just because of some change that there is in it. But I want you to look with me, if you will, to begin with, in verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he's weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the good testimonies, the good songs, the good time of the Spirit of God moving in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you for that. And I pray now, Lord, just add your touch to the reading of the Word of God. Just give us some insight, give us some instruction, give us some help through that, and we'll just give you the praise tonight. I pray again, burden our heart for lost folks and for those that just need a closer walk and a sweeter way with you. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything you do tonight. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I want you to notice these things here tonight as we look at this with David. And we're going to call this the plot of the prideful. Now, I will absolutely notice that as we get to looking into these verses and these that we read and the furthering of the chapter. But I do want you to understand that, you know, one of the greatest lessons that we can learn in our Bible and through some of this study is that one of the things that will kill every one of us, and I don't care who you are, pride will bring you down. Amen? Pride. And pride is something that, buddy, I mean, you know, saved folks are not immune to it. Let's just put it like that, okay? You can be proud, and then some pride can get into your life and cause you to be in the wrong place in your standing with the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you remember when you're reading and the Bible talks about how that there are just three things that are really the sin categories that anything can fall under. One of them is the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the third one is the pride of life. I mean, that's the third thing that's a major column of sin, if you will, in all of our lives, is the pride that can get into every one of our lives. The Bible tells us over in the book of Proverbs, that it says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, it said these six things are an abomination unto God, or doth God hate, and seven are an abomination to Him. And the very first one is a proud look. So I'm just telling you, realize pride is a killer in our Christian lives. Pride. Well, there's nothing wrong in having some pride in doing some work. There's nothing wrong in having pride in your church. What I'm saying is, don't get yourself into such a place where that it's look at me and make sure you see that it's me and me and I is all that you hear. So begin looking at that tonight, though, if you will. And let's look at this, first of all, the counsel of the cunning. The counsel of the cunning. Now, if you remember from chapter number 16, as we were reading, there was the idea was put in play about the counselors of David the king, and of now Absalom as he's trying to overthrow the kingdom. And in his overthrow, he has gotten one of David's great counselors, a fellow by the name of Ahithophel, to to join forces with him. Ahithophel has joined forces with Absalom now, and if you remember, read the very last verse of chapter number 16. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Everything that this man Ahithophel said seemed to be rather true. I mean, as far as accurate and wise and the right thing to do. David had had him as a counselor. I want to tell you something. Now, you know, you think a lot of times, we read, and you and I think a lot of times in some of our Bible study and whatever, that we say, well, you know, here's David, and David's a great man. And he is. But David is kind of like, you get to watching what goes on in our nation. Let's just pick our nation, but it would probably be the same for any. There are many counselors that come and counsel the President of the United States. He does not make a decision necessarily without some advice of some of his counselors. He asks them some questions and says, you know, what's going to happen if we do this? Where is this going to lead? What's going to happen if we choose this, or if we support this, or if we subtract from that? You know, all those kind of things. He will ask those questions, and those folks will come back and say, here's what our understanding is. That's who Ahithophel was. He was the man that came and said, look, here's wisdom. And wisdom says, do this, do that, and, you know, do the other. So Ahithophel is an intelligent, a wise, and as I say here, he is a cunning individual. Now, the only problem with Ahithophel right now is this. He has gotten eaten up by so much of a heart of revenge against David. Because remember, we talked about Ahithophel is the grandfather of Bathsheba that David committed the great sin with. Hey, this is her granddaddy. And I believe he is so upset, irate, and tore up at over the death of his son-in-law, over the sin with his granddaughter. I mean, all of this stuff, or his grandson-in-law. I believe he's all tore up over all of those things. That right now, his heart says, I hate David, and I want revenge on him, and I'm going to get it. And boy, let me tell you, when your heart starts talking to you like that, you better look out. And I'm telling you, anybody in this room, it can happen to any one of us. I mean, as one of our old proverbs is, let every man take heed lest ye fall. Because pride, well, the Bible says pride goeth before the fall. I mean, man, your pride will get you down in a hurry. So I'm just telling you, you think about it. Ahithophel's a smart fella. He's an insider. He is, you know, one of the great men. I mean, everything you want to say about him, he is that. He is the guy. But first of all, look at this with me, if you will, and notice as Ahithophel is talking. Notice in verse number 1, it says, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, now listen to it, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. Oh boy, Ahithophel's getting a big bad dose of look at me. You notice what he says? He says, first of all, let me. Let me handle this. Absalom, I know what to do. And he may well have known. He may well have that kind of intellect and understanding and even the structure of war and of battles and all of the things that he was going through his mind. He might have been, and more than likely, he was right as far as, let's just say, carnally speaking. He was right. He was going to be right. And aren't you glad God can change somebody's mind? I mean, here's Ahithophel. Absalom usually listens to him and follows that advice. So here he is. He said, here's what we got to do. He said, let me get up, and I'm going to find 12,000 soldiers, and I take my 12,000 men, and I will arise, and I'll pursue David. And then look, if you will, what he says in the second verse. He says, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. You notice that? I mean, here it is, I. If you'll look at every bit of it, I mean, you notice as you look at this and understand, I mean, pride is the biggest obstacle in the plan of Ahithophel. I mean, he's got this thing, and his plan is all based on, here's what I'm going to do. Boy, I'm telling you, sometimes we better be very careful when we start pronouncing what we're going to do. Remember what James says in his writing about that? He says, say not today that we will go here and we'll go there and we'll buy and we'll sell and da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff, because you and I have no idea what we're going to do. He said, what you should say is, if the Lord will. But you see that here is Ahithophel, so eaten up, so swallowed up by his pride, he comes with his pride and shows it boldly. But can I tell you, he never shows me that he has prayed one little bit about what he's going to do. I mean, there is no understanding. There is no mention. There is no word about this is what the Lord wants. This is what the Lord wants me to do. This is the way I see it, as after I've prayed and counseled with God. Can I tell you, the best counsel you can get is somebody that's not afraid to pray and ask God. Amen? That's why it's so important. If your kids are going to get married, you need somebody to counsel them that's prayed and sought God's face and given them some godly counsel and wisdom. If you're going to make some decisions, and it's a major thing, and sometimes even if it's not, you need to pray, you need to ask, you need to seek the wise counsel of others that are godly and pray and ask God yourself. Amen? I'm just telling you, there are some things you can dig yourself a deep hole in. And here's a man by the name of Ahithophel. I mean, from the outside, he looks good. From the outside, he has just massive wisdom and ways and even speech. And everything about him is great. But can I tell you, he's so full of pride. And really, his pride is so driven by his vengeance. I'm telling you, I believe even in looking at it, I believe his plan was perfect. Really. If you'll think about it, here it is. And he says, let me take 12,000 troops and we'll go here. Now, David's got some men with him. Remember, we talked about he's had 600 that were loyal to him. 600. He's picked up a few more along the way. But I want to tell you, I don't think that would be anything against 12,000 trained soldiers driven by a man that, you know, his mind is, I'm going to get the king. Do you see what he says here? He says, let me do this. He said, in verse number 2, he said, and all the people toward the end of it, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. Can I tell you, that's Ahithophel's main point. He wants David dead. He's not worried about everybody else. He said, all the other guys can run out, and I don't even care. I'm going to kill him. Amen? And I'm telling you, you can see the counsel of this cunning man that has decided upon the death of David. I mean, he's driven by his revenge. He's driven by his madness. He's driven by his pride. And he probably could have done what he set out to do. But thank God, aren't y'all glad God's still on the throne? Amen. I don't understand it sometimes. I don't get it. I can't figure it out. Because, see, we've all seen it during our lifetime. And I know Brother Ronnie's talked with us about this in our Sunday school class many times, about how the little tiny nation of Israel, do y'all know how big Israel is? Get you out a map sometime and look at the nation of Israel that as it stands over against the Mediterranean Sea and pushes over, you know, toward its eastern side, toward Jordan. I mean, it's not very big. I think somebody says it's probably about as big as the state in the United States of the state of Rhode Island. It's a little bitty place. But can I tell you, throughout the years, they've defeated every enemy that came against them. The Egyptians came. Egypt is a whole lot bigger, a whole lot more armed, a whole lot more sophisticated, a whole lot bigger armies and soldiers than what Israel. And you know what God did? They started driving their tanks out through there to come and destroy the nation of Israel. And somehow the sand got in the tracks of their tanks. And the tracks were busted and fell off, and the tanks wouldn't work. Well, how did that happen? Boy, he sure was lucky. No, sir, I'm telling you, God shows up. Amen? I'm telling you, here recently, you know, Iraq shot all those missiles at them. 150. You know how many targets they hit? Zero. How did that happen? Well, they did. I'm telling you, God gets in stuff sometimes. And you and I just can't explain it or nor understand it. And that's what's happening here. Ahithophel has an airtight case on what to do and go against King David. I mean, he's really got a plan. And listen to what it says there in verse number 4. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Everybody said, boy, that sounds good. Boy, I'm glad we've got Ahithophel. Man, that sounds like that is the plan that will work. But let me show you this. The counsel of contrast. I mean, boy, here it is. And then all of a sudden, look what it says in verse number 5. We don't even know why, but I mean, we do know. But look at what it says. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. He's like, if Hushai comes in here and he says, boy, that sounds good, then boy, I'm really comfortable with that, and let's go do it, you know? But look what it says. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. He tells him what Ahithophel has come up with. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. Now, he really doesn't knock the counsel of Ahithophel. He just said, well, I just don't think that's going to work right now. That's good stuff. That's good. He knows what he's talking about. But I just don't think this situation and this occasion, it's going to work very well. So listen to what he says. For, verse number 8, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is now hid in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there's a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant and whose heart is as the heart of a lion shall utterly melt. For Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore, I counsel to thee, that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, and the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. Boy, I'm telling you, here was the pride of Ahithophel. And now Hushai begins to play on the pride of Absalom. And I want to tell you, we've already found out this boy's full of himself, right? I mean, he's been bold enough to overthrow his father's government. He's been bold enough to sweet talk and get everybody turned to his side, everybody that he can, and all the nation of Israel is following him. And boy, he's this dynamic, he's this personable, he is this marvelous fellow. And on top of that, boys and girls, he's got that flowing long hair. I mean, he's looking good, you know. He is the handsomest dude in the city. I mean, he's Mr. Pretty Boy. Amen? He is there, right? I mean, and he's got everything going his way. So Hushai begins with this. He gives him some counsel that we're going to call the counsel of logic. He says, now look, what Ahithophel's told you, it's good, but it's just not good for this situation. Because he says, look, Absalom, you know how your daddy is. He begins to, okay, yeah, now this is about you. Remember, listen, this is you. You got to make this decision. He said, you remember how your daddy is. He said, thou knowest thy father and his men. You know your daddy and all those that follow him. That they're mighty men. And right now, he said, they're chafed in their mind. That means they're stung. They're hurt. They're stirred up. They're mad, if you will. Their feelings are hurt. And they're not gonna act like normal people would, in other words, like a normal army will, like a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. Thy father's a man of war, and he's not gonna lodge with the people. If you remember, you can go back and look and read from where we looked before. When David would go and on the run from Saul, he never stayed with his men. He would be out by himself. He would be hiding in a cave. He would be off in another area. He was somewhere else. So Hushai says, hey, you know what kind of guy your daddy is? Now let's think about this before you act in this manner. Because if you send that army, and Ahithophel may be leading it, but boy, what happens if some of them get whooped and things begin to turn? You'll be in trouble now, and you won't look so good. So again, Hushai is pushing to his sense of pride. He uses the counsel of logic. He uses the counsel of leadership. You see what he says there? He says, look, here's what I think you ought to do. You ought to go in verse number 11. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go into battle. Look, here it is. In thine own person, you step up, Absalom, and be the leader of this war. You! And boy, I want to tell you something. When somebody comes and pats you on the back, when somebody strokes your ego, when somebody starts to pump you up and build you up, you're thinking, hey, that's right. I am me. I am bad. And I do look good. And I do have long hair. Woo, y'all get out of my way. I'm about to do something, right? I mean, that's the way that I think Hushai is coming in to get him and say, look, get you a little pride. I mean, well, you can see Ahithophel's full of it. I will, I will, I will. Here's what I will do. And he says, look, you need to be the man. You need to be the leader. You know how your daddy acts. You know. So Hushai is now pumping the logic and the way of this battle. He says it should be through you, Absalom, because, well, I mean, you're the king. And Absalom's beginning to eat all this up, right? And then I want you to notice, it is the counsel of the Lord. Listen to what it says. He says, verse 12, so shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found. We will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and all the men that are with him, there shall not one be left so much as, or there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city. We'll draw it into the river. There'll not be one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord, listen, for the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. How in the world did that change his mind? Well, it says it right there. It's the counsel of the Lord. God put those words in Hushai's mouth. And he let him build up that ego and that pride of Absalom. And he let that counsel of Ahithophel, hey, all those guys. Now, I really feel like this. The more that Hushai kept pumping up Absalom, the more his head lifted up, the broader his shoulder. I mean, buddy, before this thing's over, he's sticking his chest out and his ass was showing. I mean, he was Superman, right? He thought, y'all better, yeah, I'm going to go get in this now. And all of a sudden, he's got his men with him. You know what? They're looking at him. They're saying, yeah, he's right. You know, they all begin to give their word of encouragement because they're looking at Absalom and saying, yeah, he's the man. And this sounds like the right plan. But can I tell you, this was the counsel. And this really, to me, shows me, I think, that the counsel of Ahithophel would have worked. It would have been sure death for David. But you know what they all forgot? That God's still on the throne. The Lord's still in control. The battle still belongs to Him. And here is Absalom and his men, and it said that they said that counsel from Hushai is better because it said the Lord had appointed. And this wasn't Hushai's a sweet talker, Hushai's a great spokesman, Hushai, he's nobody. I mean, as far as looking at things, he is just simply a man like Ahithophel, but God's using him for a purpose. So look at this, if you will. Thirdly, let's call it this, the counsel of the Comforter. I want you to know, here's the counsel that comes from the Lord Himself. I mean, this just allows me and you to see how God works. Listen to this as we read just a little bit further. Verse 15, Then said Hushai unto Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the leaders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. He said, look, here's what Ahithophel said, here's what I said, and maybe at this time he wasn't sure how it was going to go, but he went and told the priests. You remember, there were two priests that are there in the city that David's told them to remain. The priests are there. They've got, both of them's got a son. There's two boys that they got. And he said, I want you to, somebody to go and tell the priest. And then I want the priest, it says in verse number 17, now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed in Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the house, to the woman of the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well, and they went and told King David, said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. I want you to stop right there and think about this. Here's the counsel of God, the counsel of the Comforter. First of all, I'm glad God can use insignificant people. Do you realize you just read with me about two women? We don't know who they are. We don't know their name. We don't know anything about them. but God used them in a great way. Isn't that amazing? Here's one lady, and I'm sorry. I mean, this is just what it says in verse 17. Now, Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by in Rogel, for they might not be seen to come in the city. Listen, and a wench. Don't y'all love that word? Somebody say amen right there. I mean, you kind of get a negative connotation from that. All that means is she was somebody's handmaid. She was somebody that did probably the lowest form of work around a house or a place. But can I tell you, God used her. Amen? God used her. I mean, an insignificant woman. Somebody that even has what looks like to us, even a derogatory term used on her name. But can I tell you, God can use her. Y'all remember a little lady by the name of Rahab the harlot? Didn't God use her in a mighty way? Y'all remember a little girl that came out of Moab by the name of Ruth and God used her? Can I tell you, there's thousands of them throughout the Bible that God used somebody that seemed like everybody else so insignificant, but God used them. Do you remember, and if we get over here one of these days into the book of 2 Kings, there's a little girl that is a maiden that has been captured and held captive in the land of Syria, and she is there she's the handmaid to a fellow by the name of Naaman, and he winds up with leprosy. And do you know what that little girl said? She said, "Oh, that my Lord would inquire of the prophet from my land of Israel." And he said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "We got a man of God over in Israel, and he can do miraculous things. If you knew him, he could help you with your leprosy." Do we know who she is? Got no idea. Her name's never mentioned. But she told Naaman. Naaman sent for Elisha. Elisha came and dipped that boy and they told him to get in the muddy river 7 times. When he did, his skin became again as a baby's skin. And God performed a miracle in the life of Naaman. Amen? And you know who helped him? Somebody we ain't got no clue about. But buddy, God used her. What I'm saying is, God, through His counsel, He can use insignificant people. He used this woman. And all she did is she went down and told the priests told Jonathan and Ahimaaz about the plans and the stuff that they needed to know. She took off, and then look what it says. They came to another man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court. And it said, and a woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth. And then she went back and she put corn to dry out there. Made it look like they had used that place just as a place to spread cloth and dry their grain. And when the other soldiers come by hunting them, she said, well, they went that way. And look, who was she? We don't know. We don't know her husband's name. We don't know anything other than the city they're in. We don't know anything about it. But can I tell you, God used her too. You know what that means? That means God can use any one of us here in this room tonight. And the world don't have to know our name. Whoever you're out there helping don't have to know your name. Whoever you tell the old gospel story to, they don't have to know your name. But I'm telling you, God's keeping all the records in heaven. We may get to heaven one day and God say, hey, everybody, can I have your attention? Here's the little lady that hid the two men that were going to go talk today and spread the cloth over her well and put the old dried corn out there. Here she is. Y'all give her a hand. Amen? And boy, I tell you, I believe God's going to let us notice some of these people one day. But in this world, they're not ever known. Oh, can I tell you, there's people that you have no idea of what they're doing for the kingdom of God. But can I tell you, I'm glad God's got them. And it can be folks like me and you. God can use those little old bitty kids. God can use those big grown-up kids. God can use adults. God can use some senior citizens for His honor and His glory. We may not never know them in this world, but thank God I'm glad He keeps a record in heaven. So there's insignificant people, but I want you to notice, You see that there is the indisputable presence of the Lord. This whole thing, you see that God is all over it. God, I mean, how could these things happen? How could the Hushai's counsel be better than that of Ahithophel. It wasn't. But God made him think it. Made Absalom think it was. How could this girl run down and tell these two men, and they just happened to get into this place where they could hide in this well before the armies come along and was searching for them? How could that happen? I'm just telling you, you can see God, His presence, all over everything that's happened in this story. And that brings you to this thought that we can see the inescapable purpose of God's doing something here. Now, it's on down through history. I mean, we have no idea about any of this, really. And they certainly didn't. But, man, God's purpose has been for... You know what God's saying? David, I got to have you, buddy. I got to have David. David, because what? Why? Because God's promised David something. God's told David. God said, you're going to be the king. You're going to be the king of Israel. You're going to be the king for this long. I'm going to be with you. I'm taking care of you. And, man, can I tell you? I mean, this is, you just see God's purpose all over this. They could have came and killed David and got rid of him, and Absalom could have been the king. God said, ain't happening. You know why? Because this is His purpose. His purpose is to allow David to live, fulfill that kingship, get it to that place where that lineage that's going to come down through him, down through the ages to get us to Jesus, where it's all going to be intact, where it's all going to be... There's still songs for David to write. There's still battles for David to win. There's still victories to come in David's life. And brother, can I tell you, it's all right here. It is the inescapable purpose of God. Amen? It's just like I told you. As I said, we quote this a lot. But Paul says this. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse number 24, when they're telling him, Paul, don't do this, all this. You're going to have trouble. You go to jail, you'll be killed. You'll be all this stuff, you know. And he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish what? My course with joy. He said, I've got a race to run, and God knows where it ends. God knows the end of it. God has an inescapable purpose in every one of our lives. Can I tell you? You, if you're saved and you're living for Him, you've got to understand that. Now, can I tell you this? It ain't going to look so happy, bright, and joyful every step of every day. But you just keep that in your heart. God is not through with me. God has got something. God's got a purpose in my life. God's got something that He wants out of me. God's got somewhere that I'm going. I can't see it right now, but I'm just going to stick with Him. I'm going to stay with Him. You remember when Jesus is getting on Peter a little bit there in John 21, and Jesus is trying to tell Peter some stuff. Peter, you know, he's got his feelings hurt, and he's all tore up, and he's messed up anyway from his denials and all that. And Jesus is talking to him about, lovest thou me, all that. And finally, you know what he does? Peter looks over at John and says, what about him? And God says, Jesus said, don't worry about him. I'm talking to you. Okay? So can I tell you sometimes, don't worry. I mean, we think, well, I wonder what they're going to do. I wonder how that's going to happen. Don't you worry about it. You just get concentrated on doing what God wants you to do and realize He'll take care of all these other things Himself. Okay? So you see that there's all those things. And real quickly, let's look at this, if you will, at the end of this chapter. Here's verse number, well, David has gotten up and all the people are there with him. They've all passed over the Jordan River. They're all safe and God's plan has seen him through that. Look in verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and rose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. I just want to look at this real quickly, the collapse of a conspirator. Look at a fellow that at one time respected, and I won't say just respected, he was highly respected. I mean, here's a man that was offered brilliant counsel, that was a counselor to the kings. I mean, he's a big-time fellow, respected. But I want you to understand, somewhere along the line, he defected. He let something happen to him that got on the inside of his heart, that tore him apart. And he just wasn't the same anymore. He might have had the same wisdom, but he had, as a matter of fact, he was probably King David's main advisor. But then, when the opportunity came, he defected and he ran over with, here's the other side, running over with Absalom, and here he is. He's defected. But then I want you to notice this. He is rejected. His counsel. And I don't get it. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he got rejected. Big deal, guys. Hey, everybody ain't going to like your ideas. Everybody's not going to follow what you say every time that you say. I mean, you know, anybody here been disappointed over some things like that? Well, sure, shake your head. So you said something and thought it was a good idea, and they looked at you and said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to do this, or we're going to follow this other advice. I mean, here he is. He's rejected. But then finally, he gets disconnected. I mean, his mindset is such, and I don't understand it. I don't get it. But he got all of his stuff together, got to his own house, to his own city, and he put his household in order, and then he went out and he hung himself. And then it says he was buried there with his fathers. My, what a sad, sad end of a fellow that looked like he had a bright future. And I want to tell you, that happens that way a lot of times with folks that maybe start out in life in some ways, and then for some reason, some things change, and we don't understand, but they just can't handle rejection, can't handle the issues, can't handle the problems. But I'm glad God's still on the throne. It's still all under His control. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready.